If you are being filled with the knowledge of his will, say an amen.
Amen.
Therefore, declare loud, say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. Say loud, I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, I'm learning to pray. My prayers are effective. Now, I want you to say this loud like you believe it. Say, I have come. Not in the power of my own righteousness. Not in the power of my own righteousness. But by the power of the righteousness of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. How was work today? Doesn't look like it was very good. You're looking so dull. Is it the weather? Ask your neighbor, how was work? Tell the person, don't tell me you didn't go to work. Yeah, there's work to do. There must be something you did today. Ask the person, how was it? It's true. The Lord is good. Whenever I tell you, I'm still looking for work, don't believe the person. When you are waiting, this is Christianity. When you are waiting, you are doing something. You hear what I said? When you are waiting, what did I say? I didn't hear it well enough. That is how we wait as believers. We are busy with today, and that way we are getting ready for the next time, for tomorrow. If anybody is sitting down doing nothing, the person is not waiting. The person is doing nothing. Waiting in Christianity is an active process. You can say a student is waiting for the next phase of his or her life. Why? Because he's reading, studying, trying to acquire his degree, certificate. That you can say that somebody is waiting if the fellow is busy doing the work of today. If you're not, there is a work for each day. Tell your neighbor, there is a work for each day. Let me say this again. You will not go into the next day if you don't do the work of today. Your primary assignment in life is to ask, what is the work for today? Not to go around, you know, saying that government has not provided. You know, this madness people get involved in. Government has not. There's no human being called government. You must never live your life in such a manner that it depends on somebody else's kindness for it to move forward. That's something I keep on telling people. Don't arrange your life so that you need somebody else to be kind before you can make progress. You understand? Like if you are driving on the road, if you are hoping that all the other drivers will be normal before you won't have an accident, then you are going to have one tomorrow. You don't bank on somebody else's kindness or action for you to move forward in life. It's a dangerous way to plan. Do you understand? You're walking somewhere and you're believing God that one day in that place, he will promote me and then I will now become a big man. Just forget it. What did I say? But that plan, it sounds funny, but I really mean it. Plan in such a manner that if that place collapses tomorrow, your life just goes on as if they never existed. What do I mean by that? Don't hope that your company or the government will last so long that you be promoted one day, you become a DG. They can make El-Rufai president, and you know what that means? The Lord is good. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is that I remember once, you know, I think, where was it? My younger brother applied for a job. Was he in NNPC or something? So I told my mother, I said, what in concern did you concern NNPC? He said that, you know, government job. I said, NITA was government. And you know, PACA was also government. And this NNPC is beginning to be was government. Very soon, you hear that it used to be a government. So there was, in that time, they used to have a group managing director. It now becomes history, just like NITEL is history now. What am I trying to explain? Don't hope, don't just hang your life on somebody else behaving properly. Sometimes you go to, maybe, is it, there's one state that's behind me here. They didn't pay teachers for 11 months. Primary school teachers. Is it 11 or 9 months? I tell people, look, don't arrange your life in such a manner that if somebody else misbehaves, your own life comes to an end. I'm not saying people will never do. God uses people. Do you get my point? I'm just saying that don't arrange your life in such a manner that if somebody else closes a door, that's it, your life has ended. No. You say, okay, what should I do? Yeah, while I'm a primary school, you know, teacher in that place, I must be acquiring enough skill in myself so that if a sacking man becomes their state governor and sacks everybody, my life just moves on. I just transfer my skill from one place, do you follow my point, into another. And be very careful as a Christian. Do this consciously. Always see, literally see every disappointment like that as a blessing. Make sure you always see every disappointment like that as a blessing. You're walking somewhere one day, they close the door, say you can't walk here again. Don't see it as human beings. That man is wicked. The man is not wicked. What I mean is, I'm not saying he's kind though. It is, okay, let me put it like this. His wickedness is his problem. His wickedness is just a tool in God's hands to lift you from one place and put you in another place. God just says, you see, this is my Joseph. He's a nice boy. I love him. But the way his father is treating him, he won't go anywhere. So the wickedness of his brothers was interpreted later as the Lord sending him ahead of them into Egypt. You are getting what I'm not explaining there? That is, his brothers were not sending me to Egypt because they understood the next phase of life. He said, oh dear Joseph, we understand that what God wants to do in your life right now requires you, requires us to steal you and sell you as a slave. So we want to walk with God so that we will not hinder. Have you read this joke? I saw a joke recently. Somebody sent a message to his friend. Oh boy, please, I'm very, very broke. Can you help me with something? That one replied, say, ah, who am I to interrupt what God is doing in your life? Now, so you see, his brothers, all right, they were not thinking of what God is doing in his life. They just made up their mind that this boy must be punished. They sold him, and when the Bible was going to report it later in the book of Psalms, he said he sent a man ahead of them. Are you seeing God's method of sending people now? Yes. The man was there. They beat him. What is it? They said, that's flight ticket. They knocked his head. He said, he's boarding the plane. They tied him. He said, no, they are just strapping him to his seatbelt for takeoff. This is human beings. He's beating people, beating somebody. Yeah, when God interpreted, he said, I was the one sending him ahead of them. And that was exactly what happened. If he had remained with his father, you know what happened? There are many boys who remain with their father, and you didn't read their story today. I keep on, you see, all the stories in the Bible, we think it had to turn out like that. That was the purpose and the plan of God, and there was nothing anybody could do to thwart it as it were. Hallelujah. It's a lie. Many plans and purposes of God in the lives of people were thwarted by the individuals. And the reason why you don't know is because it was not written. It was not worthy of being written. That's why I keep on saying, it is he that endures to the end that will be saved. It is he that endures to the end that will be saved. Many people were sent like Joseph when they got to the house of Potiphar. Things were so sweet, Miss Potiphar came to spoil it. So they waited, say, wait, oh. If I offend this woman, this my sweet life will end, oh. And after all, she's the one asking. God sees my heart. There was one joke. I went to Akure, to Ondo to go and preach last week. I saw Yenka was laughing. I entered his room and he was laughing. I said, what is funny? He said something he's seen on, that somebody conducted an interview and asked, will you sleep with your boss to get a job or to get promotion or something like that? Some people say, ah, God forbid bad thing. Some say, well, why not? Some, you know. Then one girl said, if God says I should, I would. That was why Yenka was laughing. They interviewed an adult. You want to sleep with a man for promotion or for a job? Say, it depends. I will pray about it. And if the Lord says I should, why not? I will be obeying the will of God. Of course, it's very funny. You may be laughing. Did a lot of Christians think like that? Balaam thought like that. They said, come and curse these people for me. He didn't even hear, come and curse the people for me. He said, let me go and pray. The pastor, if they say, come and raise money for me, don't go. Because if you go and pray, one angel that wants to wound you will tell you to go. What I've said is it that is Joseph will just go there and say, it's not my fault. Let me pray about it. Madam Potiphar, you know, I'm a covenant child, so I need to get permission from God before I do anything. So please give me till tomorrow. Now kneel down. And when people say the will of God, you know, I've been saying that will of God thing. These days, when somebody say God spoke to me now, in fact, I'm even worse than before. Before, I would take you serious. Now, I don't take you. I just say, look, man of God, don't deceive me. Just tell me what you want to do. Because God spoke to you, it's hard for me. Say the thing first before you tell me who said it. Because I must hear the thing first. The thing in itself will be analyzed before we now say who said it. Because this one that the Bible says that, you know, Satan can come as an angel of light. It has not ended though. God responds according to what is in your heart and what you are able to hear. That is the truth. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. What am I trying to say? Joseph that goes to pray, to say, Lord, you can see the situation. What do I do? God will say, go ahead. I won't talk. I can see that it's not your fault. Sleep with Mrs. Potiphar. Why not? And tomorrow you're going to say, it is God that said I should. You say, ah, Pastor Mike, did you say God? Yes, you will think. You will hear a voice. Not the voice you won't hear. You will hear a voice. In your spirit, something will rise up and say, arise, my son. Why not? Many of those Josephs, you don't know them today. That's where I started the whole story from. Their own ended in the house of Potiphar. Maybe God was really kind and understood that it was not, you know, please understand what I'm saying, in quote, that it was not his fault. So he didn't kill him rapidly. He died like 15 years after. He enjoyed, he promoted him. He became second in command to Potiphar in the district of Egyptera. You know, I just carved out one state for Egypt there. And that's it. And you never, you say, oh, there was one slave boy here. It really, really did well. It was a good boy. He was moving. He was being promoted. We thank God. Just a mistake that the tree fell on him and he died last week. After 16 years of rapid promotion in the house of Potiphar, you won't know that it was Mrs. Potiphar that killed him. We will never find out that young man was supposed to make it to being prime minister of Egypt. Not personal, not senior, special, personal, administrative, and complete assistant to... Which looks like a big post because he's a slave. Maybe even one day. Potiphar would just say, what happened to him? How did he get here? He's my brother. He says, oh, I hereby sign your release and send you back home. And he'll go back home and they'll do Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. I was in the house of Potiphar. From there, God granted me freedom. You won't know that freedom is a sign that God said, I'm tired of him. Honestly, there are times I sit alone. And before I used to thank God and give testimony. But now I sit alone. I'm wondering, I say, God, where we are right now? Is it where you really want us to be? Or now disobedience keep us for here? I'm not kidding about it, though. I pray that prayer seriously. There are plans some of my friends and I are making concerning ministry work and all of that. Anytime we talk about some things. The other day, I called Pastor Courage back and said, look, oh boy, that thing we said yesterday, I don't think I agree again. He said, why? I said, I realized that part of what I was saying was I was putting myself in the picture, trying to ensure that I don't look bad or not appear. I don't know whether I get my point. I said, no, whatever we have to do, we have to do it. You know, we're trying to, because the issue was I was just trying to fine-tune, just removing my own flesh out of the way, because if you keep your flesh there, God will still do something and you'll still be giving testimony. Many of the testimonies we brag about today were testimonies of things that God did to people he wanted to kill. Do you understand? Manna was falling regularly and we were praising manna. The only reason why manna fell regularly was they had to die. If they had obeyed God, they would not have had much opportunity for manna. They would have entered the promised land fast. and water came out of the rock. All of this is disobedience. If the people had obeyed God, all this story of the wilderness would not have occurred. And then one day, we saw a miracle in the wilderness. It is because you are in the wilderness. If you had obeyed God, you would have been declaring, oh, the first seed time I planted corn. After that, and you know, it doesn't sound so miraculous. Because it is seed time and harvest. The only miracle is that we thank God for 16 years we've been here, there has been no locust. You have to be consciously reminding yourself that what you are enjoying is not natural. It's actually supernatural that has become that have begun to look natural. Many of the big testimonies, I remember somebody was giving testimony at the time. I wonder if my brothers now called and said, this guy's testimony. He said, person off he talk. But every place that he went, you know he was not supposed to go. I don't know where I get the point. Maybe tell the brother, say, no, from every indication, you're not supposed to go to, let's take Lagos from Enugu, we're in Enugu here, all right? He takes off, he gets to the road, the car has an accident, he comes out, he's not injured at all, no scratch on him, he says, praise the Lord, the God, the deliverer, no problem. Then gets to Onitsha, then the bridge collapses somewhere, and then he just passed, no, he couldn't pass, so he had to get a canoe that took only him across. See, I almost didn't get to Asaba that day, but we thank God, somebody brought a boat and carried me across. Say, amen. Then they got there, there were no vehicles. Then we began to pray. Then one lorry came out of nowhere. The lorry was carrying stone, but he said to put us beside the stone, and then we got to Benin. The guy gave testimonies. Oh, my other brother, I said, thank you, come. Those testimonies, they look fantastic, don't they? I said, yes. He said, but what was he doing on the road to Lagos? I don't know whether you get the point. That all of these things where a man has disobeyed God and God is warning him. So he's having a lot of struggles and God is delivering him little by little and he's been giving testimonies. So that brother called me and said, which kind will I be this one? Did you hear this fellow's testimony? Just drag me. Say, come. I said, oh boy, now so I see him too. That's like this life, eh? Well, first of all, I will just see that. I don't even know how to judge things again. The main problem is that God is very good and very patient. Because of that, people are disobeying him. He's helping them small, small. And the only reason why they need some of those miracles is because they are stubborn. They now collect microphone and said, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Honestly. That's why I told you that in recent times when I'm praying, I said, Lord, I thank you for what you have done in this area. But are you sure that's actually all you wanted to do? Or that's the only one I allowed you to do because of my strong-headedness or ignorance or fear? Do you get my point? Yes. As a prayer, I should pray. Said, that which I see not, teach thou me. So that if I have done iniquity, I won't do it anymore. That's why I've said, look, many Josephs have ended. We never read their stories because the Bible is a small book, so there was no space. Because what is this one doing there? It's a story of disobedience. Don't worry, remove it. They put another story of a man who obeyed. I can assure you of one thing, for every Joseph you see, all the attempts as Josephine in the Bible, there were plenty. Because many are called, few are chosen. Amongst those that are chosen, few are faithful. Fewer are faithful. So the only one you read is the story of the one that was called, chosen, and he was faithful. He ran away from Mrs. Potiphar. That's why I say, don't ever judge your life by the results you got. Judge your life by the principles of righteousness that you adhere to, whether you failed or you didn't fail. I don't know whether I get my point. The man who succeeded, the woman who succeeded, is not the one that got the result. It's the one that adhered to the principle of righteousness. Because depending on when you are looking at Joseph, assume you are doing a case study of slaves in Egypt, and you did it while Joseph was still in prison. That's why scientific studies are nonsense things. Don't follow them. I don't follow scientific studies, though. I don't. When there's something is bad for you, I go and check the Bible. Did the Bible say it's bad? The Bible says, no, it is good. I said, forget it. I said, don't eat too much sugar. I said, the Bible says the land is flowing with milk and with honey. The reason they said that you shouldn't be drinking milk because it wears... Oh, what have I not heard? You drink too much milk, it causes prostate cancer. If you don't drink enough, it causes colon cancer. I said, which one will be this one? So I read my Bible. I said, God led them into a land flowing with milk. It must be good. I'm telling you. I mean, the Lord led them. He chose, he was lying flowing with milk. In fact, there are some four things I believe that every Christian should eat. Milk, honey, olive oil, bread, yes, you should eat bread, amen. And then you should drink a bit of wine. It's in the Bible like that. Yeah, fish, thank you. Jesus Christ used fish. Thank you. And then lamb products are good for you. Goat products, lamb products. These are the sacrifices God said the priest should eat. They must be good. Anybody tells me any of this is bad, I won't believe you. I don't care any scientific study that you did. I will not agree. I eat honey now, all right? Because I try to get honey when I can. I almost always have honey in the house these days. I use it. But it's not because of health things like this one is better than this sugar. No, I still take sugar. It's just that one day I was studying the scriptures. Say, my son, eat honey for it is good. What's your problem? It's written in the Bible. No, that's my honey. The one that we teach as doctors, I forget that one. The Bible says this one directly. Eat honey for it is good. See the way they qualified it. Since that time, you know why I went into that? Scientific studies. They'll be all be tossing you to and fro. For many years, they said, don't eat fat. Fat is bad for you. Don't eat fat. Fat makes you fat. Don't eat fat. Fat does this. Finally, about last year, 2 years ago, they finally said, we are sorry, it's not fat. It is sugar. After 30 years of denying me my fat. This is how I now won't eat sugar for another 40 years. And I say, sorry, it's not sugar. It is breathing too much. And I'll be selling masks that reduces the amount of oxygen on your face. No, what I've told you, know this is my profession. You know what I'm saying? I would just be laughing when they start talking. I saw them last year on TV analyze and giving details why sugar is the problem. I said, eh? There is no fat. That the fat in milk, which they used to make butter, it's been found, all right, that is it margaric acid, is actually beneficial to the elevation of the good cholesterol in your system that they call HDL. And in fact, I said, since I was a child, you were saying the opposite. You say, meta-analytical studies have shown. I say, holy, this is what is called eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. 40 years to tell me that what the Bible says is good people, and people still be following them. They say, you're eating egg. Don't you know it contains cholesterol? I'll be looking at the people. You see, Okpelenge like this. They get a thing like this. He said, I don't eat egg. It is bad for current cholesterol. It contains cholesterol. I feel like anybody spell egg. People who hardly see egg to eat. In 1 whole week, you give the fellow one egg, say, I don't eat egg, contains cholesterol. I know where I went into this digression. I'll go back to my digression anymore, to where I started from. There was a time people said they wanted to live fasted life because Kenneth Hagin is living fasted life. I started laughing at them. You see, thin brethren say, living fasted life. Meanwhile, the brother Hagin are living fasted life. When he wants to say he hold his stomach like this. You've not seen the videos. It's like he stands there. That bro, not for use belt, now suspender. I'll be looking at them. Yeah, look at them. You don't even know who to copy. When an American serves you food, you know why they live a fasted life. First time I saw their plate, I thought it was saucer. I thought it was tray. Plate, you know, it's a plate. Mankind, I said, what's that guy going to do with that? Yeah, serve your food inside. Oh, boy, that is a tray. Supposed to put the plate in it. No, that is his plate. The food I eat on a daily basis, an average American considers it a fasted life. Must be copying things recklessly. I keep on telling you, when it comes to diet, when they give you food, you know the first thing you do? You thank God for it. Father, I thank you for this food in the name of Jesus. As you are thanking God from the bottom of your heart, all the excesses are running away. All the deficiencies are coming in. As you are eating it, the angels are serving you the ones you can't see, so as to balance your diet. The only thing I say is moderation in everything. That English expression of too much of everything is bad is scriptural. Too much of everything is bad. I know where I digress into that. Don't worry, I know where I was. You wonder whether I've lost my way. Don't worry, I haven't lost my way. I just want to say that we don't use scientific studies to determine what is good, what is bad. If the scriptures speak about something, all this one that Obama is doing, leading them in the charge to try and tell us that sexual perversion is normal. I don't care the studies you have done. I've read my Bible. God said, these are the things that the people did, and the land became polluted, and as a consequence of pollution in the land, it vomited up the inhabitants. I mean, these days, somebody will just wake up in America. In fact, I was watching Farid Zakaria the other day analyzing the United States. He said that since 9-11, no, 9-11, when at Al-Qaeda brought down the Twin Towers and 3,000 people died in that experience, he said only 78 people have been killed by terrorists in America as of today. Today is Tuesday. I watched it on Sunday. That 78 people have been killed by terrorists in America since September 11, 2001. This is August, that was August 1st or August 2nd, 2015. He said, but in that interval, 150,000 people have been killed by gun violence, domestic gun violence. That is, domestic not being married. Just somebody, civilians just carrying guns and shooting people, one crazy man just shooting people. That 150,000 people have been killed. The American spends billions fighting terrorism. They will not even talk about gun violence. That only 78 people have been killed in 14 years by terrorists in the United States. But brother shooting brother, friend shooting friend, one man just getting up in a theater and shooting people. 150,000 have been killed in that interval. Why I talked about it, that it will get worse if people like Obama have their ways. Even though he thinks he's trying to control gun, the gun control is not the issue. It is that the land is being polluted by his types. I don't need a scientific study to tell me anything. The Chinese have an idea, they have a philosophy. They asked a Chinese man once, is he Chinese or Japanese, that what do you think, this was almost 100 years after the French Revolution had occurred. They said, what do you think will be the effect of the French Revolution? He said, it's too early to tell. You hear what I said? Historians say, when was the French Revolution? I don't know history enough. Okay, who scored the opening goal in the last match between Manchester United and Borussia Dortmund? People will know now. Anyway, I don't know how long ago it was, but after many decades, they asked an Asian man who understands life, what is the effect of this revolution? He said, it's too early to tell. What I'm trying to say is that many of the things that the world is doing today, the consequences are too early to tell. I don't need to wait. I can read the scriptures. God told Moses, he wrote commandments for the Israelites. Don't do the things that they did in this land. Do not practice homosexuality. He said it clearly. These are the reasons, he gave a number of them, that he said these are the things that the people did. And the land became polluted. And God poured forth his judgment upon the land, and the land vomited up the inhabitants. These are the things that caused earthquakes. These are the things that caused tsunamis. These are the things that caused domestic gun violence in the land. I don't need a scientist to do any study. I've read enough scriptures to know a bad thing is a bad thing. Back to what I was saying. So this was the point from where I digressed all of this talk about science. And if you came to do a study to find out the lives of slaves in Egypt, but you did that study while Joseph was still in prison, you will have thought that his action was wrong. Then people will sit down and say, what was the big deal? What's his issue? He's not a man. Why should you understand now? Talking nonsense. Why? Because Joseph is in prison. You can't come and be in prison for what he did not do. For what? At that time, we started judging that he took the wrong step. He should have just agreed for that woman. What is it? But now it's easy to agree that, yes, it was right. Why? Because our covetousness has kicked in, And our worldliness has said, listen, that was a path to progress because we are looking at it that he became a prime minister in the land. He said, oh, me too. I don't go grow. I won't spoil my prime minister appointment. Do you follow my point? That would be the issue. But for Joseph, that was not the issue. The issue was, how do I do this thing and sin against God? He did not know that was going to lead him to becoming a prime minister. He just obeyed the righteousness of God each moment. So you want to know whether you did well or you did wrongly? It's not the consequence. It's not the effect. It's what does God say? What does the word of God say about the action that you took at that moment? That is what decides whether you did well or you did badly. That is all. Nothing else. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, what I wanted to share with us briefly today is I just feel like sharing a word of exhortation. It's our school of prayer, but not much praying do I have in mind, just to share a word of exhortation. This is what I wanted to say. I want to explain something, a word stayed in my mind for the last, while I was praying about this meeting. So that's what I want to share with us briefly. What I want to talk about is positive confession, versus prophetic confession, all right, or prophetic declarations. Let me just explain something about that briefly. I think it is important. Let's start by reading from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. I just feel we should explain this thing for brethren to understand again. Let's read the scripture first, then I begin to explain. Verse 5. I'm reading New American Standard as I do most of the time. So make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. In verse 6, he says, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. You now ask the question, what will man do to me? Let me just add verse 7, maybe it will help us a bit. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Let me just stop here. Now, what I'm trying to bring out here is to explain the difference between speaking positively and the words that are supposed to come out from the mouth of a believer. One that's very common these days, you tell somebody something, he says to you, I reject it. Do you understand? You are sneezing. Do you have a flu? I reject it. Now, it's good to reject it. I'm not saying it's bad, though. In fact, you should reject every bad thing. All right? But it has become Christian language. It has become what we call Christianese. All right? You are talking to somebody. We didn't see your Bible study yesterday. What happened? Well, thank God I was strong. All right? Why didn't you use that, your strength, to come for Bible study? Okay, it's not Christian language. I was strong. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is the fact that we learn this thing. You know, sometimes something starts good, and then people carry it into the place where it is now bad. I was listening to somebody preach at that time. You remember the story of the brass serpent that Moses made in the wilderness for those who were injured, who were beaten by the serpent. Do you know that the Israelites kept that thing for a long time? I didn't even know until recently. That was later one of their kings got angry and broke it. That why have they turned this thing into an idol? This thing actually was good initially. When God told Moses to make it, it was supposed to be used only for that season in the wilderness. Wisdom should have taught them that after they left that place, that thing should have been destroyed. But they kept it as a source of healing. And that way it became a sin. It became an idol. It became iniquity to them. Do you understand? By looking at it after that season, you were now worshipping a graven image. Meanwhile, when God gave it, that's why my own interpretation of the third commandment is that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. People say, don't say the name, you know, flippantly. Use it as a swear word. I don't think that's what he was talking about. He was telling them that God does things different methods. Never take his name and place it upon the method that he used. For example, that serpent was a method of God. It became a vain thing. So don't ever put the name of the Lord thy God on what is vain. when God uses a method, all right, to bless us, when we now start sticking to that method, okay, it becomes a vain thing that we are putting the name of the Lord upon. What am I going to say? So sometimes something starts good. People now carry it to an extent. It is right to speak positively. When we began to learn the word of faith those days, one of the things that people emphasized was to speak, in quote, positively. But the positive thing is what I want to talk about. The Bible wasn't talking about, in fact, the instruction of God was not to speak positively, but to speak according to his word, to speak according to his testimony. That's Christianity. Positive talking is not Christianity. That's why everybody applied it. There was a book that somebody gave me some time ago. The book is called, I don't like mentioning some of these names. Okay, I think I should mention it so that, you know, you don't want to popularize what you know people to read, you understand? The book is titled, it's called The Secret. The Secret. I read the book. Now, this is one of the things I used to judge whether a book is good or bad. If it's supposed to be a spiritual book, I started looking for the name of Jesus and what they said about him. If the name is missing, it's a bad book. It's a serpent book. You know what I mean by serpent? Serpent in the wilderness has been carried into the promised land. That's what the book is. I read through that book. The person was trying to explain how you think so strongly and form images in your mind and how that thing will happen. After going through the book, read it from the beginning, I don't know whether I got to the end, but I said, this book is not good. As a Christian, don't read it. Don't believe what is inside. We get confused because if you read it from the beginning, in fact, many pastors will pick it up and think they are teaching the Bible. You begin to conceive in your mind the meaning of the word meditate. As you begin to meditate and to, you know, to... Many of the times what we do, do you follow? We start practicing occultism, we don't realize it. Yeah, many of the things we do is pure occultism. And I keep on saying the fact that it gets results doesn't mean it is right. Because many of those things, they are not... which one do I use? They are just the principles of the spiritual realm, which Satan uses, normal people use it. You know, there's actually is something out of the order of God. Yes, it came out from there. But it will have lost its life once it is detached from the source of life in himself. Once it's not connected to God. That's when I pick a book like that. I keep reading through it. What did you say about the sacrifice of Jesus? You must understand, this is a fact about life, not what we believe. It's a fact about life that everything about God, the fullness of God dwells in him. So if you don't magnify him, you are not tapping into the fullness of God. So now when I read through that book, I didn't see Christ being magnified anywhere. I said, this is not a Christ. I don't care how good the things inside appear. If you write a very good on relationship, marriage, and all of that, it's good for the world, though. They can pick it. But I'm careful how I handle it. If I don't find Christ magnified in it, and you'll see my reason in a moment, all right? And the reason is because all these principles, they work, but just like spiritual thing, anything in life, they have to be powered. You know my power? You see, you may be good answer. Many of us came with cars, and there are cars passing on the road outside here. Those cars in themselves, they are very beautiful. A brand new one may cost in today's naira, for some of them, as much as 8, 10 million naira, all right? But the thing that powers it is only 2,000. The car is 10 million. But without 2,000 naira fuel, you are getting what I'm saying? You bought the car, 10 million is your problem. Let's assume you saved, borrowed, did everything. You bought it 10 million, now there's no money again. You know you don't have a car. Am I lying? You don't have a car. You just joined the league of everybody else that's trekking on the road. The fact is that the thing that powers it, you don't have. The man with a keke napep and 500 naira will get to his destiny faster than you that have a 10 million naira car, but that cannot buy fuel. But you got that keke nap, 500 bucks, 1 gallon, on the chart, straight. It will reach there. It may be slow, but it's getting there. 1 gallon. The man is going to reach that. You have your 10 million naira car. You can't buy fuel. You are not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? Some of those principles we are using in life, they are being powered